want to preach a little faith to us this morning. For some reason, my faith is jacked up through the roof. So, for those of you who don't know, just a little bit over a month ago, they had called in hospice for me, and they didn't really expect me to be around here. And for a while, I didn't know if I expected to be around here. But for a Christian, it's good either way. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So I just settled in my heart that that was his will be done, and I was happy with that. But he chose to heal me, completely heal me, and I am a walking miracle this morning. And to God be the glory. To God be all the glory this morning. He is worthy of all praise. So I want to preach a little bit of faith to us this morning. If you go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, I'm going to begin with verse number 1. We've all heard it. I preached from this passage before at other times. Different content, but Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary, or give me justice from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, or give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Father, right now I'm asking you to take this word, and I'm asking you to speak to our hearts. God, it's not about us this morning, it's about you. And we would ask, Lord, that your word become a living fire shut up in our bones this morning. God, have your way. Use these lips of clay. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord might say to us this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hebrews 11:6, we all know it, but it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now this parable that Jesus gives us here follows a whole list of parables. He gave us the parable of the rich fool, the barren fig tree, the mustard seed, the leaven, the great supper, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the unjust steward. And then he gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And then it brings us to our text today, which is a parable of the persistent widow. And keep that word in mind. She was persistent. She was persistent in what she was doing. Our text in verse number 8 says, when the Son of Man comes. Now that this places into the end time, and it points to the rapture of the church when he comes. When he comes. So Jesus is saying, when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? That's a troubling question to me. Somewhat. Will he really find faith on the earth. His question isn't randomly thrown in here. It seems like it might be if you just do a quick reading. He's telling this parable, and then will he find faith when he comes? For our context here, I want to get back to our context, is a widow's persistent faith. She petitions the judge, and he wouldn't do anything about it. But after she keeps asking him, he grants her petition. It says in verse 5, "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." I've got to answer this lady's need because she's wearing me out by asking me. She's not letting me get any rest. She's asking me. Keeps asking me. And our text is about persistence in seeking the answer to what we feel are our promises. This woman felt that she deserved justice. That's what a judge was there for, to bring justice. And we have to be persistent in our pursuit of seeking the answer to God's promises in our life. I don't know if I said that quite right, but we need to be persistent in seeking those promises. He gave us promises, and we have to go after those with everything we've got within us. This widow would not stop in her pursuit of these promises. And for us this morning, Luke chapter 11, verse 9 says, "So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." That's a promise to us. That's a promise. Many here this morning, I believe, you have needs. You have many needs. You may be sick. You may have any kind of need this morning. And you have prayed about it, and you have prayed about it, but it seems like there's no answer. It seems like it's to no avail. Let me just stop here before I go on. Every prayer that we pray in sincerity and in faith before God, God hears it. God hears that prayer. You may not get the answer right now, but God already knows what he's going to do about it. Never forget, he's in charge and he's in control. Nothing gets out of his hand or his sight. So this woman was persistent in asking, seeking, and knocking. I want to contrast that with a couple of ladies in Scripture, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. On the one hand, they believed that Jesus was the healer. So they called for Jesus to come and heal my sick brother. Come and heal Lazarus. But their faith ran to a dead end. Their faith ended when Lazarus died. Now, both of them said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, my brother could live." Their faith stopped when death took over. When death stepped in the door, their faith stopped. Their faith operated then within the natural laws, not the supernatural laws of God. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, does our faith operate within the natural laws that say, well, he's dead, there's no reason to pray anymore, no reason to believe, or I've asked 1,000 times, it just not must not be for me. Is that how our faith operates? Or does our faith operate within the supernatural, where we believe what God says and nobody else? It doesn't matter if Lazarus died. He's still the healer. He is still capable of meeting my need and touching my life. He's still capable. And we've got to continue to be persistent in seeking the promises of God. See, I believe this morning, I believe that we've entered a time of the supernatural. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe we're in the end times. I believe Jesus is coming soon. And I believe that we are in a time when God is going to start showing his hand and power. He's going to start showing his hand in miracles, signs, and wonders so that no man has an excuse. They're going to see what God is doing. I'm living proof of that this morning. I believe that miracles are going to be the norm, not just something that we read about. Or not an occasional testimony. But I believe they're going to be the norm. I believe every Sunday somebody's going to walk in and say, I've got a miracle. And not just something that they say they have, but that you can visibly see. A miracle of God. So in light of Jesus' question, when he says, when he returns, will he really find faith on the earth? I believe he's asking us this. I believe he's asking us, will he really find faith in his promises? In his promises. We read his promises all the time. Every day you pick up your word and you read the scriptures, you are reading his promises to you. But how many of us have let those settle into our spirit and into our heart that we are persistent in saying, Lord, your word promised. Your word promised this. I believe in, this isn't in my notes, but I believe in Psalms chapter 2 or chapter 1. It says that the Father is speaking to the Son and he says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance for you. I believe this morning that the Bible also tells me that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means if the Father said to the Son, ask of me and I'll give you the nations, we can ask of God and he'll give us the nations. We can ask of God and he'll give us his promises because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So I believe he's asking us, will he find faith in his promises? Like promises like Luke 11:9 that we've already said. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Or like Matthew 18:19 that says, again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Just two of us. Shouldn't be too hard to get two of us to agree on something. I've been in churches where that would be a very difficult situation, but not here. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Or Luke 12:32 that says, do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. Luke 15:31 says, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Everything that God has promised in this book is ours. Everything, every jot, every word, every line, it's all ours. But it's so easy to lose heart when we see other people's prayers being answered and it seems like ours go unanswered. It's so easy in our humanness to just lose heart, say, well, it must not be for me. But it's at those times that we've got to be solidly rooted in the promises of God, solidly rooted in the Word of God, knowing that His Word is truth. It's truth no matter what. It is truth. Luke 18:1 in our text, it says, "Then He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and to not lose heart." Don't lose heart, beloved, because the promise isn't right there. Don't lose heart because you haven't seen the manifestation of what you're praying for. God hears it. God knows what you need. God has already planned a time for your miracle to take place. Do we believe Titus 1:2? When it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." If we look at God's word, we look at the promises of this book and realize God can't lie. And He's not going to tell you the truth of His word and lie to you over here. His word is truth, and it's our truth this morning. It's our promises this morning given to us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God are yes and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." Yes and amen are His promises to you. God promised to meet your need. So don't lose heart this morning. Don't lose heart. You say, "But I've been praying for this healing. I need this healing." Don't lose heart. The answer's on the way. Just don't lose heart. And I think God is asking us, will He find faith in His promises? But He's also asking us this morning, will He find faith in God Himself? Will he find true faith in God Himself? We live in a world that's unfair by any standards. Let's face it, it's unfair. Godly men and women who struggle with pain and finances and wayward children and job situations and on and on and on and on, while the ungodly seem to prosper. In our humanness, that's unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair when a lazy person at work that's pulling half the load gets a raise and somehow we get bypassed. It's unfair. But that's the world in which we live. We live in a world that is not fair. But sadly this morning, so many Christians in the midst of their struggle start to question God's existence. You'll hear them start to say, "If God exists, why isn't He doing something?" Or, "God, if you're really there, help me." That's questioning whether or not we really believe that He is God and that He exists. And He exists to meet our needs as we bless Him and glorify Him. Many Christians struggle with that. When it's our struggle, when it's your struggle this morning, it's hard. It's hard, but at that moment, that's when we should do our best to tenaciously hold on to God. To tenaciously say, "God is God no matter what." To tenaciously say that God is my God no matter what the rest of the world does, no matter what the rest of the world says, no matter how many times I've prayed and haven't got the answer, God is God. Like Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." He had enough sense to realize that If life went sour, God was still God. God was still God. God promises our need, so let's never give up. There's an old chorus. Used to say, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. God is still on the throne. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember, you're not alone. I sense this morning that there are some here that are on the brink of a miracle, but you're on that teeter-tot of, do I tenaciously hold on or do I just say, well, too many prayers have been prayed. I've said too many things. It must not be for me. Don't give up. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do to this that do this which was done to this fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, how many of us in this room actually believe if there's a mountain standing in your way, that you can say, mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it's going to happen? That's what the Word of God says. Now, don't get the idea that you can just go out here to the tallest hill around Ohio and say, be thou removed, and it's going to be removed. There's got to be a purpose behind it. And it's got to bring glory to God. So, but the power is there. The power is there, and he's given us that authority to exercise that power. Whatever we need in prayer, believe, and we shall receive. God's still on the throne. He is still on the throne. So we know that he is asking us, will he find faith in his promises? Will he find faith in God himself? Then I believe he's asking the question, will he find faith in the power of God? The power of God to heal us. Though 1,000 prayers have been offered, do we still believe? Do we still believe? Do we still hold on to what his word says to us? In Jack Coe's book, Curing the Incurable, Jack Coe, for those of you who don't know, back in the 1940s, was one of the healing evangelists that was going around the country. And all the other healing evangelists knew Jack Coe for this one thing. They said, the guy believes the word and there is no question about it. I mean, it's whatever the word says, that's it. That's it. And he saw great and marvelous miracles take place. Well, he said in his book, Curing the Incurable, when you choose to develop your faith only by hearing what God's word says on a matter and not allowing opposing words to counter what God's word declares, then you will receive what you are believing God to do. Believe this word above everything else. Above everything else, believe this word. Put your faith in the healer, Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, not in your healing this morning. And here is a secret. Here's a secret to receiving from God. Put your faith in the healer. Put your faith in Jehovah Rapha, not in your healing. We need to move our focus. Yeah, I'm sick. I need a healing touch. But my focus needs to be upon the healer. Upon the healer. Jesus repeatedly said, your faith has healed you. Faith placed in the right thing has brought healing to you. Faith placed in God our healer will always, always produce results. Maybe not immediately, but they'll come. Because we've got our faith focused in the right direction. Will he find faith in his power to heal? Will he find faith in his power to sustain us? There are many here this morning. You have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed. You are one of those who haven't seen an answer yet. And the struggle's getting weary. The road's getting weary. But he has power to sustain us during those times. During all the struggles of life, he will keep us. He will keep us. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he could keep Job, he can keep you this morning. He can keep you through whatever you're going through until the answer comes. He can keep you until he comes in the clouds for us. He can keep you this morning. Don't lose heart, as Luke 18:1 said. Don't lose heart, because God has the power to sustain us. Luke chapter 4, verse 10 says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. To keep you. If you are in the midst of that long night of struggle today, hear me this morning. The angels of God are around you to sustain you and to help you and to bring you through victoriously. God's business is not to bring us through crippled and beaten down. He's going to bring you through victoriously in the end. But he needs to bring us through. We had a guy in our last church that he thought it was very funny, but he said, God will bring you through anything if you can stand the pull. And that's true. Sometimes the struggle is real. It's hard. But God will bring us through that. He will bring us through that. He will keep us in those times of struggle. And then will he find faith in his power to use us to show forth his miracle working power? Will he find that faith to believe that God can use me to show forth his miracle working power? If that's that I am the vessel that's healed so that I can be a testimony to the others, or might I be that outstretched hand to touch somebody and pray for somebody and believe with somebody? When we turn our focus away from our needs, our wants, our desires to this question, God, what will bring you glory? What will bring you glory in this? I was content with whatever would bring God glory. If it meant going to heaven, hallelujah, I'd be dancing all over the floor right now in heaven. But if it meant staying here to bring him glory, I'm content. What will bring him glory in your situation? What will bring him glory? When we ask that question, what will bring you glory, God? Then our lives become an instrument of God's miraculous power. God can do anything with us. When we get our right focus, the right question down. When we get our focus upon God, what will bring you glory? What will bring you glory? Catherine Kuhlman was another faith healer back in the 50s. wrote a book, 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. And she relates in that little booklet the story of a woman who came to her meetings. And Catherine Kuhlman was not about receiving any of the glory. She always pointed it to Christ. But she tells this woman's story. And this woman said, they were in Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, worship's going on, praise is going on, everybody's caught up in worship. And this woman said, I kept wanting to pull my eyes down and look at Miss Kuhlman. After all, I had come 10,000 miles to see her, but I could not look at her. I realized that I had not come all the way from Australia to see Catherine Kuhlman. I had come to see Jesus, to be touched by him. It suddenly made no difference whether Catherine Kuhlman was on stage whether she appeared. All that counted was Jesus. All that counted was Jesus. We get our right focus and the miracles will start to happen. We get our right focus upon Jesus, what will bring him glory, what will bring him honor in our life, and miracles will start to flow through us. God will start to use us in miraculous working power. The right focus ushers in the miraculous. So where are you at this morning? Are you one of those that has prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed? You're halfway discouraged because it just doesn't seem to come? Let me ask you, have you asked, have you sought, have you knocked and asked, sought and knocked, and asked and sought and knocked? Have you become that persistent widow before the throne of God to where God says, hey, amen, they're going to. Even God, I'm gonna get wore out here, so I better meet the need. We've got to be persistent in asking God. Remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Job, he'll do for us. What he did for me, he'll do for you. God is a miracle-working God. And his power to do the miraculous in your life is just simply seeking somebody with the right focus. Somebody that says, God, I don't want any praise out of this thing. I don't want it to be all about me. I don't want to be healed just so I can say, hey, I'm healed. I feel great now. I enjoy this, but I don't want that focus. I want the focus to be, God, you be glorified. You be glorified, you be praised, you be honored. When our focus gets right, then the miraculous begins to flow. So I would ask you this morning, are you here with a need? Are you here one of those that says, I prayed and I prayed? Brother, if you would help me. I've sought God and it doesn't seem like there's an answer. And this morning you might say, I'm going to come and I'm going to turn my focus not upon my need, but I'm going to turn my focus upon the one who can meet that need. I'm going to turn my focus upon God because I want God to be glorified. I want him to be glorified. If you're here this morning and you have a need and you're willing to step out by faith and say, I'm laying it on the altar this morning and I want God to be glorified. I want God to be glorified. If you have that need, you come. There will be those who will pray with you in faith believing this morning.